Yeah, I'm Thad Lively. I'm the Senior Vice President for Trade Access at the U.S. Meat Export Federation.
Thad, you spoke here at the National Institute for Animal Agriculture conference about traceability and how it affects the international markets for beef. The one comment that stood out to me, I guess, was that, you know, you don't think we're losing any business right now or that it's hurting us business-wise globally, but it sure leaves us vulnerable to situations that might arise.
No, that would be my assessment of the situation. There's really only one country that we export to that requires us to do traceability, and that's China. And today's China's a fairly small market for the beef industry, although one with huge and very exciting potential. But yeah, I think the fact that we don't have traceability, and all of our competitors do, all the other major beef exporting countries have adopted it, and frankly, most of the countries we export to have adopted it. So I think that puts us in a position where we're kind of seen as is outside the norm, kind of playing catch up in this very important area. So clearly, if we have an FMD outbreak in the U.S., we're going to be in a lot of trouble, and I think we all know that. From an export perspective, our thoughts immediately turn in under that scenario to how quickly we'd be able to get back into the export markets. Without traceability, we're at a big disadvantage. That process would take us much longer than it would if we had traceability in place. We saw this to a very important degree with our experience with BSE, where it took years for us to restore access to some of the important markets. And I think if we had a traceability system, we could have moved much faster. So it is a simple fact. No, there's no country in the world other than China that's saying we're not going to accept your beef until or unless you adopt a traceability system. But it is just a matter of looking forward to the future and the growth that we're all counting on in the export markets. This is an area that could hold us back.
Are other countries using this against us in some situations, competitors?
Well, I think there's lots of evidence that other countries have been very effective at using the fact that they've adopted traceability to try to differentiate themselves. And this is also often presented as part of the sort of a green and safe message, reassuring message to consumers, to customers in foreign markets that you can be sure we know where these animals, where this beef came from, where the cattle came from, how they were raised, et cetera. That's a pretty appealing message most places around the world, I find, and one that today, frankly, our industry is unable to carry forward.
So what would you like to see, or what would USMEF like to see in a traceability program? I mean, how complex does it need to be?
Well, I think, of course, we're like most others in the industry in that, you know, optimally we would see the industry or a significant part of the industry get to traceability simply by responding to market signals. That's happening to a small degree today. Today, we've got some fairly small percentage of our herd is traceable. But I think when you look at it, whether you look at what we're doing for China, for example, or what a number of ranchers and cattlemen are doing today to get a premium in some of the domestic market opportunities, there's a lot of ways you can do this, and there's lots of room for creativity. The program we put together for China, in some respects, is modeled on the Canadian program. It's what's sometimes called a bookend system. So, in other words, what we have told the Chinese is that we will know where the animal was born, and we, at the level of the packing plant, will be able to say, not that we can trace every move that animal's made, but we know where it was born, and we can tie that back to that animal that's standing out there in the yards. That was enough to satisfy China. And I think there are going to be a lot of variations on this as we go forward. That's the way it plays out if we do it in response to demands in the market. Obviously, that's not the way it'll look if we find ourselves in the position of our government telling us this is what it's going to look like and how it's going to work.
You mentioned BSE and the threat of FMD, and you asked the question in your presentation, you know, if BSE didn't cause this uprising towards a traceability system, program, what would? So, I mean, is it going to take a disaster to make this finally happen?
Well, we certainly hope not, but it does seem like the obvious question to ask, especially when you look at what motivated our competitors, the other main exporting countries, to adopt traceability. In many cases, it was because they had a disease issue they were dealing with, and they needed to get back in to important export markets. So they were responding to an economic signal there. Most of the countries we compete with export a larger share of their production than we do. So we hope it's not going to take that. I mean, you can see scenarios under which maybe a major customer here in the United States, one of the big retailers, one of the big restaurant chains, decides they're going to require traceability on all their beef. You could easily see if that were a kind of a bell cow in that sector, the food service sector, for example, that could lead to lots of copycat activity by their principal competitors. You could imagine a similar scenario developing in some of the export markets, where our important customers in some of those markets, big retail chain, for example, decides that they want all of the meat in their meat case to be traceable. That could set off a chain of events that resulted in us essentially deciding as an industry through a number of individual decisions by packers and others that it's too important, this market, whatever it is, whether it's Japan, Mexico, Korea, one of our top markets, is too important to us. So we're going to find a way to satisfy the demands of these customers. I mean, that's another scenario short of a terrible crisis, which could lead to us over time adopting traceability.
Are you encouraged by the discussions taking place here and I guess around the country right now about traceability?
Well, I think it's always important to keep this topic in front of people. You know, my experience has been that you get a group together and everybody immediately agrees. This is something that we need to be thinking about. And everybody agrees that if we have, for example, an FMD outbreak, it's going to create huge damage for the industry. I think the part of the challenge has been, how do we keep that dialogue going outside of meetings like this one? How do we get people to the point where they feel like their questions, maybe especially at the producer level, their questions, their concerns about traceability, what it might look like, what it might cost them, whether it's going to pay them to do it, whether the market's going to pay them. We need to get those questions answered, because I think as long as there's that level of uncertainty out there in the countryside, it's going to be hard to get kind of a groundswell of support that is probably what it's going to take to move us there if we kind of do it on our own rather than waiting for some outside force to push us there.